Praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. You are good, Lord. You are good, God. Oh, it's by your grace, God, and it's your power working us. Oh, there's freedom. There's joy. There's peace. There's strength in our weakness because of your grace and your goodness towards us, God. Oh, we praise you, God. And Jesus, I take all the folks that are on the live stream today, those of us in the building who could use a touch from you, God. We've sung about it. But we just want to, in a moment here, just lift up our praise, God. We give you glory and honor. And as we do this in these few moments, God, would you heal? Would you bring deliverance? Would you dissipate fear, God, and anxiousness and stress, God? And would you come and answer deep questions, God? And would you pour out your Holy Spirit and refresh and renew? God, do a powerful work in all of our lives, in our places, wherever we're at. Right now, this very moment, God, we invite you to just strengthen and touch and bring joy and peace to our lives. So Jesus, we give you honor, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you the words and the declaration of our heart, God, today, because you are worthy of them, God. Oh, you are great and you're good and you're powerful and you're wonderful. You're generous towards us. Oh, Almighty God, Almighty God. Oh, you're beautiful, Jesus. You're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're amazing, God. Oh, we give you glory and honor and all the praise, God, because it's all yours. You deserve it all, God. And oh, from the deep and depths of our heart and our being today, God, from the depths of our spirit, we cry out, Jesus, you are glorified within us. Oh, beautiful Savior, wonderful Lord, God, to all the glory and the honor be yours. Oh, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name. Praise that name, that wonderful, powerful, mighty name, the name above all names. Let the glory and the praise be His. Oh, blessed Savior. Jesus, we love you. We love you. Oh, and God, by your Spirit today, we invite you to open your word to us. Oh, God, you know us individually from the core of our being. You know us. So, God, would you take your word today and would you apply it into our lives where it needs it most, God? Chip away at us, God. Beautify our lives before you today. And for that, we give you the glory, God, and the praise. Oh, Jesus, you're incredible. Amazing. Oh, God, be all the glory. In Jesus, we pray these things in your wonderful and powerful and matchless name, that beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, I love Jesus. Do you love him today? Do you love him today? God is so great, eh? You know, we're going to continue on this morning and open up his word. I got lots of scripture to throw at you today, And we're doing Thessalonian themes, and as I said last week in Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, one of the main themes and primary themes of the two books is the second coming of Christ, and I'd like to dwell on that this morning, and I hope that it excites us and brings us deep joy when we consider that Jesus will return and we will have eternal life with Him. It's exciting. It's awesome. We're going to look at that today, and there's two thoughts of great importance that we look at the theme today. One is this: the second coming of Jesus is imminent. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is that it's going to happen. We can't do anything to stop it. It's going to be here. It's going to happen. And whenever, if it's today or if it's a week or a year or months or decades, generations, it's going to happen. And that's the first thought I have today. And the second thought is this, that since the second coming of Christ will take place, then we've got to be prepared for that time and that moment when Jesus returns. We can't just sort of, you know, well, it's a nice thought, it's going to happen, yeah, that's great, and do nothing to prepare. Jesus wants his bride to be prepared for his return at any moment, at any time. The second coming of Christ is mentioned 329 times in the Bible. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to it, and it's the second most frequently mentioned doctrine. What would be number one? Salvation. So salvation and then the second coming of Christ. That ought to tell us something. It's a big deal. You know, we all know that salvation is imperative for eternal life. We've got to be saved. But it's also important to remember that to cause us joy and to keep our eyes on the prize of eternal life, that we need to remember that Jesus is coming again and live in that appropriate behavior, that fact will happen. Acts 1, when Jesus was being transcended from the earth after he had raised from the dead, it says, after he had said these things to the disciples, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking at the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same manner as you've watched him go into heaven." In other words, the angels were saying to them, Jesus is coming back. Hebrews 9:28 says, "Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who eagerly wait for him." Eagerly, that's a powerful word. It's a word that should describe the church, the people of God. Philippians 3, verses 20, 21 says this, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." In other words, we eagerly, again, await this Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us from our sins and comes to bring us life and eternity in relationship with him face to face. Colossians 3:4, "When Christ is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Jesus returns, we get to be with him. It's an amazing, transforming thought that should motivate and drive us. Titus 2:11-13 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." What a thing to wait for! You know, there's such an amazing thought in Titus because it says we are to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, live righteously and godly in this present age. So there's a responsibility on us to be doing things, to responding to God's Spirit, to being transformed and becoming like Christ and living godly, righteous lives now. There's that responsibility on us, and our posture in that responsibility is to know that we're doing it because we're expecting Jesus to return. John 14:1-3, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you that. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, let's pause for a moment. This is Jesus' words. This is Jesus' words. It's his promise. And Jesus' word means everything. Because he will not lie to us. He will not distort the truth. He will tell it as it is, and it will be done. It will be fulfilled. And Jesus' word, when he said, I will come again, means Jesus will come again. Did that get you to jump up in your living room right now or your office and do a little bit of a jig? I hope so. We got to practice that. We're going to meet him in the air, so we got to get up. Anyway, as I was. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. This is Jesus again talking about the future events. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he'll send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Oh, folks, if we could grab that and just picture that Jesus will come again from the sky. He's coming for us. We got to picture that, and we got to get up in the morning when we're just like struggling to get up and to carry on, and in those moments of real deepness in our lives, that we would get up and we'd say, you know, Jesus is coming back. If you flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read in verses 13 to 18, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. See, there's a problem in the Thessalonian church that they were really concerned. They were a little bit immature in their faith, yet young in their faith. And they were worried about those that had passed away physically and were buried, that they would never see the resurrection. So Paul is confronting that theology and that thought. And he says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always, eternally be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you feel comforted today? Do you feel encouraged? Jesus is coming again. It's what we live for in our faith. You know, you look at that word comfort, it's the word, the root word that comes from the Holy Spirit's name, Paraclete, and it's parakaleo. And it means to call to exhort, to encourage. And that's what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to call you to live a life of faith that is vibrant with passion and joy, knowing that Jesus is coming again. I'm trying to exhort you, to encourage you, to remind you today that Jesus is coming. So live your faith with passion and joy. Live it with vibrancy and live it with life. And yes, in the low times, we all get discouraged at times, but in those discouraging times, in those low moments, remembering that Jesus is coming, and there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more anxiety and stress, because Jesus will come and make all things new. Oh, be encouraged. You know, Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how to stimulate or spur one another to love and good deeds. You know, that word stimulate is the same word of parakaleo. And it means to provoke sharply. Wake up, church! Jesus is alive! And by His Spirit, He's alive in our lives. And the Spirit reminds us this morning that Jesus will return. And all the heartache and the hard work and fighting through in our faith will be worth it. Because not only will we have, well, I'm 60 years old now, so 60 years or 70, we'll have eternity without the stuff of this world. It's going to be awesome. Let's be provoked in our spirits today. Let's be provoked to passion and excitement and anticipation. and such a deep joy. Let the Holy Spirit fill your life this morning, wherever you are. Encourage, ask Him to come and refresh and renew you and have rivers of living water and a fountain of life flow out of you. Jesus is alive and Jesus is going to return. Praise His name. I'm a little passionate today. I've been a little discouraged lately, I'll be honest. I've been mentally fatigued and weary. I've been wrestling. And God reminded me as I wrote the words and I pulled out the scriptures, He reminded me of this very thing. And folks, I love the worship today because it reminds us that we need to break down some of that discouragement in our lives and that weariness and the mental fatigue by offering praise to God. We offer praise to God and God overcomes in our life. And if you're this morning in a period of or a season of weariness and fatigue and you're struggling a bit with it, lift up your hands and praise God. Fight through it. Offer Him all the glory because He is with you today. He hasn't left you or forsaken you. God, touch us with your Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-6 says, "Now is the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And while they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they won't escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We're not of the night of dark or of darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober." What is he saying here? What is Paul telling us? He's saying that the time will come when Jesus will return and it's just going to happen. In a moment. It's going to happen like a thief in the night coming in. We just don't know when the thief is going to come. And so we know that it's going to happen. So he says, be ready at all times. Don't let your guard down. Don't be slack in your Christian fervor and your faith. Because when it happens, it's going to happen. And we don't want to be caught unaware. Matthew 24, 36 to 44, Jesus' words again as he carries on. He says this, is Jesus' words. "But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven." And listen to these next three words, "nor the Son." Jesus himself doesn't know that moment, but the Father alone. I always picture it this way. You know, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were coming against Jericho into the promised land, and they were marching around, and the walls finally eventually on the seventh day collapsed. I could picture Rahab and her family and her house inside the walls there, and she had let the spies go, and so they had said, "Put a scarlet cord out your window, and we won't destroy you, we'll take you out to safety." And in that moment when the walls came down, I could just see Joshua turning to his lieutenant in the army and saying to him, "Go keep our promise." And they go into there and they get Rahab and her family and they bring them out. And you know what, folks? That's exactly what's going to happen in the end. When Jesus is going to return, the Father one day will turn to Jesus at his right hand and he will say to Jesus, "Go keep your promise." Whoa! Can you imagine that moment? And can you imagine, just with me for a second, just think about this. Jesus doesn't know that moment, but he knows it's happening. And his Father turns to him and says, "Go keep your promise." I can just picture the joy. And I don't think Jesus will sit there. I think in a moment he will be up. Can you imagine the joy that I get to go receive my bride? Wow, let's not think a moment for our sake. Let's think about Jesus. That's going to be a great day for him as well. Wow, all the work of the cross, the resurrection will come to fruition and he will come and keep his promise to us that he would return and take us to himself. Wow. Jesus says at the end of that Matthew 24 passage, you know, be on the alert. You don't know when it's coming. He says, for this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you don't think he will. You see, the world will just carry on doing its stuff, its thing, and they won't be looking for it, and they won't know, and it'll all come upon them in destruction. But the church is not to be like that. We are to be alert and ready as if it could happen this very moment. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, I'm preaching here, I don't get quite to the end, and all of a sudden we're just all flying in the air. Wouldn't that be cool? I'm not going to get into it this morning, but would you read Matthew 25, 1 to 13 and meditate on that this week? Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Veronica on there, can you just type into the chat room for everybody to grab that so they can write it down? Matthew 25, 1 to 13. So if Jesus is returning, and we know he is, and if we're supposed to be ready and prepared for his return, then what does it mean to be prepared? I want to get into it a little bit more next week on part two of this, but I want to just say a few things today about what does it mean to be prepared. One is what the Bible describes being born again, that we need to be born again. It's recognizing that God is holy, that we're sinners, that we've been separated from God because of our sin, and it's a call to believe in Jesus' death and resurrection for me, and to repent of my old life, my sinful life, and to give my life to him, to confess my sin, ask Jesus to come into relationship with me, and then allowing him to, by his Spirit, transform me and show me who he is more and more and more. So there is a point where we have to be born again. Jesus says you can never get to the Father or heaven or eternal life in that aspect without going through me. We have to recognize that Jesus died for our sin, took our punishment of our sin, our separation from God upon himself, and then give our lives to him in confession. The second thing that we need to do in preparedness as a church when we have been born again is that we need to know Jesus. So we need to be developing a relationship with Jesus ongoingly in our lives and never stop building that relationship with him. You know, we're to have the Bible, the Word of God. It's too often we make excuses and we leave it to the side or on the shelf and let it accumulate some dust. But we need the Word of God because God gave us his Word so that we would know him and learn about him and build a relationship with him. And prayer, talking to a friend, is not only talking to God, but it's asking him questions and seeking him and wanting to know his guidance in our life and partnering with him in our life. And it's simply, in a sense, at times it's just not talking to God, it's also listening to him in conversation. And that's something that's developed over time more and more. It just doesn't happen, you know, greatly at first. We develop that. We also have to live kingdom-minded, living as if what we do today makes a difference in eternity. The Bible calls it storing up treasures in heaven and not on earth. In other words, we're not living just for the earth. We're taking care of our needs. We're doing our jobs, our callings. But in the midst of all of that, we're living with the kingdom of God in mind. So each day we would get up and we'd ask ourselves, who can I influence positively and encourage in their life today? What can I do for God today that would make a difference for eternity in somebody's life? How can I make a difference in somebody's life in some small way? It's getting up every morning and saying, God, is there somebody that you have that I need to intersect in my life today in your name? Is there anything I need to do, some small thing, God, in my life for you today as I live my life? And then it's believing in his return and living our lives and our faith as if it were to happen today, even if we know it may take years. It's living in the moment of our faith every day. I call it this way. You know, I watch hockey. I I've seen enough finals in the playoffs where the last two teams are together. It's a best of seven, and they're three games each tied. They're going into game seven, and it's amazing to see what's going to happen through that game when it's a, you know, last game, winner take all. And then the game ends tied, and so it goes into overtime, and you don't want to go, you know, to the washroom or grab something out of the fridge at that moment because you don't want to miss a moment because it could end right then. And literally, you're on the edge of your seat with anticipation, wanting to see what unfolds here. And that's really where a person of faith needs to be. We need to be on the edge of our seat as if this is, could happen in this very moment and it could be realized. I know it takes development, but that's the kind of place that the New Testament calls us to be in that moment, looking to Jesus. There's a quote. It says, strong belief that history is going to culminate in Christ appearing with the judgment and final establishment of his kingdom cannot fail to make a profound impression upon our lives. You see, the knowledge that there is eternity, that Christ will return, and there is a judgment, and you know, there is a choice to make now that we will spend eternity with him or separate from him in agony. You know, we've got to understand that this should be the central thread and drive of our lives, that we know who we believe in. It's Jesus. We know he's returning. So we're going to live our lives to be alert, sober, and ready for that moment when he appears. Part two is next week. I want to talk next week about future events, you know, like the judgment and things that will happen in the end times. Just a brief discussion. I'd call it more a fireside chat than I would a sermon. And I also want to look at some of the signs of our times and just things that we need to be aware of. So that's for next week. But for this week, let me remind us, Jesus will return. And I need to be ready. That's what we need to remember of a sermon today. Jesus will return, and I need to be ready for that moment. That great moment when the Father will turn to Jesus and say, go, keep your promise. Let's pray. Yeah, God, we thank you today. I trust that the Holy Spirit will use these words, these scriptures, your word, and encourage and exhort and strengthen and comfort, God, and bring a new passion and zeal again for the second coming of Jesus. And God, we're so grateful that we have faith, and we're so grateful that we have a hope. And the hope gets us through everything because we understand and know that Jesus is coming back. That one day we will see him face to face and our faith will be realized by sight. So God, would you just incredibly encourage us today, strengthen our faith, help us, God, to live in the moment, to live in the moment that we know that you will return and that we want to be ready. So I just pray a blessing over every person on the live stream today and in the building here. And God, thank you that your hand is upon each of us. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. Jesus, you're amazing. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, I want to close with this. And then we're going to sing a song just to sort of pull it all together before Pastor Tiffany comes. Boy, this week, would you be blessed of the Lord? And I pray most of all in all of our lives this week we'll be more full of joy than we have in the previous weeks. That we will be just overcome and we'll laugh and we'll enjoy God and just be so full of his presence. Be blessed with that. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Even so, Lord, come quickly.
Holy man. Well, Pastor Rich definitely brought the word this morning, and I hope you are encouraged. There was a lot, and the good news is, thanks to technology, you can go back this week and watch it again. Because in case you don't remember, we're supposed to read Matthew 25, 1 to 13, and there was lots that we can be doing in our own lives to be ready. Because, and I quote, Jesus will return, and I need to be ready, end quote. Whew! All right, let's pray, and you can be on your way and be blessed. God, we thank you that Jesus will return. And one time, God, one day, it will be go time. And we want to be ready, and we want to live eagerly, with urgency, with purpose, and just kingdom-minded. So help us to value what you value, and help us just to live humbly and wisely and be a good witness to those around us. God, we thank you for all of these things, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.